Our first scripture reading is from Joshua 24, 14 to 27, and it's at page 369 in your pew Bible. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt, from that land of slavery, and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God and he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And and Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. And then he took a large stone and set it there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to you, to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." The second reading is from Luke 18, 1 to 8, and it's on page 1628 in your pew Bible. This is the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" And the third reading is from 2 Timothy 1, and it's 1 to 7 on page 1852 in your pew Bible. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanksgiving. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Appeal for loyalty to Paul and the gospel. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. This is the word of God for the people of God. You're welcome.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for all that you have sent here today. We thank you that we know that you are among us because you promised where two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be also. Father, we do pray that you'd bless us, especially bless the mothers that are here today. Help them to know that theirs is a truly special gift. And guide us all in our teaching, in your teaching today, so that we might know your will and do your will in our lives. We do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was getting ready to do my sermon this week. One song kept going through my mind, so I kind of included it in there. And then I was going to play it and get my gift box out, but then I tried to slice my thumb off. And it wasn't cooperating real well with the guitar, so I asked Joyce if she'd come and play it for me, and I'm going to sing it for you now. And I'm certain you all probably heard this before, and maybe if you know it, I wouldn't feel bad if you wanted to sing along with me, because the song is titled Pass It On. Takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you'll spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on. What a wondrous time is spring, when all the trees are budding, the birds began to sing, the flowers start their blooming. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to sing. It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friends, this happiness that I have found. And depend on him. It matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. Thanks, Joyce.
Excellent.
So it's mothers. You know, for some, motherhood is just an accident and not always a welcome one. And some, biological motherhood, it isn't a possibility. For some mothers, they weren't very nice at all. And some motherhood is, under the best of circumstances, is still less than a bed of roses. And I think about them. You have to ask yourselves, why celebrate Mother's Day at all? Because for all its pitfalls, I mean for all the dirty diapers and the laundry, wiping the kids' snotty noses, all that goes with raising kids, and even still trying to raise them when they get to be adults. You know, you still have to correct them and point them in the right direction all the time. Blessed my children happen to show up here today, my grandchildren. For all that, it is truly a wonderful gift. But with it, motherhood And fathers, and the church alike bear the responsibility of making sure that they build households of faith. So when I picked out all our readings this morning, when I first got to picking out and looking at the text called for this reading out of Joshua, I got reading that and I got thinking about, okay, so he's really talking about addressing the people of who they're going to serve. And I got to thinking about Mother's Day and I'm thinking, all right, so Mother's Day, what's a mother's responsibility? Mother's most important responsibility is for their children, right? So how they react with the rest of the people around them. It's about relationships. Dads have a hard time teaching relationships. Moms are really super at it, as far as it's been my experience in life. But moms are also the ones who help them to grow, to develop habits, to know what's right and what's wrong. They're the ones who are really in charge of building households of faith, of how to tune who they choose to be their God, how they choose to live their lives. And so Jesus asked this important question to the disciples. In the gospel we read today, he said, let me find it here real quick. It says, so if the Lord is going to find faith on earth when he returns, if the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So when Christ returns to take us home, how much faith will he find on earth? That's a real question we have to think about. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find it in the church? Will he find it in each of our homes? Whose responsibility is it then? Make sure that we have this faith. Is it just my responsibility? Make sure that you all have faith in God. It all starts at home. It all starts with you moms. We think about the scripture reading in Timothy. So in Timothy, you think about this. So Paul, he's kind of a middle-aged guy. And he's writing this letter to Timothy. And he recognizes where Timothy's faith all started from. It was from his grandmother and his mother. It was from his mom's. That's where his faith began. And Paul recognized that. And it was their friendship that together that Timothy began to lead his people to faith. Those he knew and that he loved. Because Christ was asking him, will he find faith on earth when he returns? Think about that. When I read Joshua's term, when he was speaking to the people at the very end of his ministry, he said, choose this day whom you will serve, the God of your forefathers or the gods of their Amorites, of whose lands you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My grandma Downs, years ago when I was a boy, when I used to go to her house, I can still see this little plaque was up on her wall. And every once in a while, we'd have a moment, and she'd take me aside and scold me for something, or try to teach me something, or we'd just have a talk. I always cherish those talks, and I remember one time asking her, I said, Grandma, why is that up there? And it was just a little plaque. I mean, as a decoration, it was probably worthless. But as a declaration, it was priceless. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And she began to tell me, she says, well, that means that in this house, we worship God. In this house, we obey the Ten Commandments. In this house, we respect one another. And all who come into this house deserve our respect and our love.
That never left me. The more I thought about it, I think about it, isn't that what Joshua said? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My grandmother knew how to build a house of faith. She made sure that we were in church, that we all, whether it was Sunday school teachers, when she built that house, it was always on trust. Can we trust our parents? Who do we trust more than our parents? We trust mom and dad exclusively from the time we begin our lives. And hopefully if they do a good job until the day we go to meet him when Christ returns. And I think about all the things I've gone through, and especially the years here, the years we've shared together, all the moms I've had the privilege of knowing, and all the moms who thought they needed to mother me at points, and they certainly have. But I think about that, and I think about the most, I think about the time when I learned the most about the Bible when I first got my education. It was in the seat of our car when I was a boy. You didn't know, I had five brothers, and we usually had one or two extras in the car, so my dad always had a big vehicle, and we always went to church together every Sunday morning. So we'd all get piled into the car. We're in the car, we're sitting there together all huddled up. We'd go to church, we'd get in church, we'd sit in the pew, and we'd get the evil eye if we screwed up in any way. Until we'd be on the ride home, because usually somebody was in trouble, so we'd be headed home, so it was silent in the car. Mom would always say, "So what'd the preacher preach about today?" Well, not too often did anybody dare speak and really pipe up and act like they knew it, what was going on. But she wanted to ask the question anyway, just to make sure that we were paying attention. And then she continued to tell us what he talked about. He tells us a story about how that affected her in her life, whatever the topic was he was speaking on that day. Because she would remember the scriptures she spoke about and what the theme was, and make sure that we understood it, that we had a concept of who God was, who we should worship, who we should be serving. That's why I asked for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So there was three verses I really wanted to point out in all the scriptures we read this morning. So when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's really the question we have here today. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find you building a household of faith? For you moms with your children, when you're raising them, that's in your adulthood, and when they become adults, will you find that you're building households of faith? So that when Christ returns, he will find faith on earth. Paul pointed out to Timothy, and I'm certain his grandmother and mother both read this letter that came. And he reminded them that it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." So as I think about this, if it wasn't for my wife, my mom and my grandmother, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't know enough to maybe put a little sign on my door that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We all have a responsibility to build households of faith. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to come, to grow together, to learn how to build households of faith. Help us to have the strength to know that we're not timid and shy about who we serve. Help us to have faith. Build us in our faith so we may serve you, so that when you return, you will find faith on earth. And it'll be right here. Amen. Amen.